The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Well, you'd know that if you've been listening to the show. You've been doing it almost 5 years here at the radio stations of North Shore 104.9. Each and every Sunday morning, we overlook the North Beverly train station, and it is not too busy here this morning. That's because it's pretty early, actually. I can see Depot Diner is starting to fill up a little bit. No trains yet. Couple people out on the roads, but it is nice. I hope you're planning for a wonderful day today. I hope you've had a wonderful start to your summer. We've had some really, really nice weather. The humidity has not been all that oppressive over the past few weeks. Yeah, we've got a few rainy days in here, but no sign of a drought, which is nice. You get to go to the beach some days, and there's lots of other stuff going on. So hope you're all doing well. I'm here, like I said, in studio each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m., providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to provide a little bit more of that. You know, money gets complicated. We spend money, we use money, we give money, we take money, we find money, we work for money. Money revolves around everything. And it's interesting how we choose to spend it. I always find it fascinating the number of people that continue to go to really nice restaurants and pay exorbitant prices for bottles of wine, three times what you'd normally pay if you went to your local liquor store. But I guess it's about the experience, and perhaps more of us have more disposable income than ever before. I'm not here on the radio to tell you how you should spend your money. How you spend your money is your thing, what you choose to do, what you think is the best thing to do. Some people will think you're nuts for going to some of these nicer restaurants. Other people will think you're crazy at how could you go to Applebee's on a Saturday night for dinner. They'll say, can't you do something better than that? You know, it's whatever is right for you. But I'll tell you, there's more and more grilling that's going on. I love these cooking shows that are on these days. And you know what's even better? You know what's even better? If you, if you have Facebook. Who doesn't have Facebook? But if you have Facebook, if you've ever downloaded the Tasty app or ever linked into Tasty, it's a really, really cool thing to go to. Tasty puts up recipes, video recipes all day long of really cool stuff to make. And they do it. They show it to you in like a 60-second video. And it is the coolest thing. From you want to make fancy cinnamon rolls to bake stuffed peppers to a special type of spice rub for your steak or whatever it could be. They come up with some really, really cool things. And so if you're looking for something unique to do, something unique to make, I would encourage you to go to tasty.com. And if you do that, that'll link probably right into your Facebook page because, oh my God, did they have some great stuff. There's other places as well that do this, this cooking strategy. And I forget the names of them, but Tasty is the one that I remember most. And I think you will be very pleased with that. But, you know, so what does that have to do with money? You might be asking yourself, what does that have to do? Well, you know what? Sometimes the best money you spend is money that you buy at the supermarket, money that you spend at the supermarket, at a local farmer's market, at a local area purveyor who offers up seafood or steaks or whatever it might be, and bringing it home to your house and trying to have a cooking party, trying to figure out how to do that stuff. I mean, look, I'm a huge fan of going out to eat. Don't get me wrong. I go out to eat more than I should. But sometimes the opportunity to bring over a bunch of friends, spend some money on good quality food, and try to make it yourself is a lot more fun, too. I mean, you can, and you don't have to pay three times the price for the bottles of wine. You know, you can do that at your house. So another cool thing that I did, and you're going to think this is the weirdest thing, but I had an aha moment 2 weeks ago. The weekend before 4th of July, I went to go visit my brother-in-law, who has a place down in Groton, Connecticut, on an area called Groton Long Point. It's a beautiful house down there. He's got all these windows that open up just right out to the water. It is absolutely magnificent. And we, my wife, Laura, and I went down and spent time with my brother-in-law, Dan, and his wife, Stacy. And for 3 nights, either before dinner, during dinner, after dinner, we hung out in the downstairs of their house. The windows are out there. The water's out there. And I realized, it occurred to me, they don't have a TV down here. We actually sat for hours upon hours every single night doing what very few people do these days, and that is just talk. And it was really nice. I didn't have, my wife is one of these big people that she hates going out outside to hang out at night because she hates the bugs. Well, we didn't have to worry about that. It was beautiful. We just sat in this house. We had the windows open, but the screens were there. You could hear the water crashing. We're just hanging out. No TV, no nothing. Imagine what that's like. You know, and that's why one of the best ways that you can do that and save some money. I mean, I know a lot of people love camping. I mean, I used to camp as a kid. Some people like to do that. You know, you go camping in the woods, you light the fire, you're hanging out, and you're just talking. And maybe you go someplace that there's no cell phone reception. Another place to consider where there's no cell phone reception a lot is to head out on a cruise ship. I think that's one of the best things about a cruise ship is oftentimes they make connecting to the internet so darn expensive that you just don't do it. And you hang around and talk and you have a nice beverage and you get into a conversation. That's, you know, retirement and thinking about money. It's going to be down to, it comes down to experiences. You know, you can only buy so much stuff. But what will the experiences be like? A lot of people, as they prepare for retirement, they think to themselves, you know, what am I going to do in retirement? What's going to happen? And what will I buy? What? How much money will I need to spend? And oftentimes, folks, it isn't about the spending of the money. It's about the experience. Yeah, you might want to spend some money for a great experience, but man, will that be lifelong? Will that be everlasting? When you think about, you know, I often talk to people about the fact that many folks have more money than they've ever imagined. And when they pass away, they're going to leave an enormous amount of money to the next generation. And you might think, oh, well, that's nice. But wouldn't it be cool if you could take some of that money and spend it with warm hands rather than cold ones? Taking your kids, your family on an adventure, on an experience, doing something with all of them so you can participate and the Yiddish term is kavel, about how happy and how successful you've been as a parent, as a mother, as a grandmother, as a grandfather, whatever it might be. That's the best way to spend some money. So we're going to talk about a lot of other money things today, but I just wanted to kind of offer that kind of a reflection to start our day off this morning. You know, we're halfway through the year, halfway through 2017, which is hard to believe, I know. But what's also amazing to me is nobody would have expected that your account statements, which you've just received as of the end of June 30th, look as good as they do. And you begin to wonder, can this continue? Is it possible? Who should take credit for it? Who should take the blame for it? I don't know. Well, we all know who's to blame when it goes down. We all know who we're going to blame when the market goes the other way. Who's to take credit for it? Well, I don't know. I don't know who could take any credit for that. But when the market goes down, you know the headlines will be filled with, it's Trump's fault. That's what's going to happen. That's makes no sense to me, but that's what's going to happen. And you know it. You know it. And many of you are probably shaking your head. Well, of course, Mark, that's what's going to happen. We all know that. That's exactly what's going to happen. But we... You see, you think to yourself, okay, well, I've made this money. Well, why? Why did the accounts go up? Why did the markets go up? And you know, it's rather interesting. I think the people that are seeing the greatest success in growth in their portfolios this year are people that have actually been what are called active investors, buying active mutual funds, active investments. You know, there was all this discussion that passive outperforms active, but I think you'll see over the past 6 months that active money management has actually beaten passive money management. What do I mean by that? You know, so many, you saw all the money. You should see, well, you can't see it, but if you read the newspapers, the numbers of dollars that are heading into Vanguard index funds is, it's unbelievable. Nobody would have expected the multiples of dollars that have headed into Vanguard index funds and ETFs. But remember, when you buy a Vanguard index fund, or any type of index fund for that matter, I'm not just picking on Vanguard, you're buying a fixed portfolio that goes with the hills and the valleys of what the markets do. An actively managed mutual fund allows a portfolio manager to select stocks in the portfolio that may be reflective of an index, but can have higher or lower weightings in their portfolio in the event, you know, trends are heading in one direction or another. So I happened to pull up my semi-annual market barometer that I actually get this market barometer daily, but I pulled the 6/30 one, the June 30th statement. And what's kind of interesting, we've heard year to date that the stock market, the S&P 500 year to date is up 9.34%. Pretty good, right? Now, please don't annualize that out to 18.5%. But a lot of companies do, and a lot of statements do. No, we don't annualize here. We just look at what's real. S&P 500 is up 9%. But oftentimes, when you look at growth funds versus value funds, if you have growth funds and you have value funds, did you know the growth funds, large cap growth funds, are up on average 13.99%? But large cap value funds are up 4.86%. Now, what's kind of interesting is I want you to think back 12 months ago, 6 months ago, and you said, well, I don't know what this market's going to do. I'm a little worried about the whole election scenario. I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know that if I buy dividend-based investments, I'm going to do okay. Well, what's kind of interesting is, do you know where dividend investments generally fall? In the large cap value space, not the large cap growth space. Large cap value funds tend to have slow movement in their stock price, but they also have a dividend. Well, what I think is kind of interesting is that through 6 months of the year, we've been talking about how the market is up some 9.34%. Yet many people who chose to do this on their own, and they tried to push the envelope a little bit saying, you know, I want to be careful. I want to stick with dividend paying investments. Well, you're only up on average 4.66% through 6 months. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with being up 4.66%. But growth investors are up almost 14%. So the point that I'm trying to make is sometimes we try to second guess what's going on out there. Sometimes we try to overanalyze what we need to do for our portfolios. And I think many financial advisors, people that hold a CFP designation, people that you're talking with about building the right type of portfolio, are really coming to fruition and showing you some true value right now in the building of the portfolios. You're going to find some pretty good value. I hope the financial advisors that you work with, or even if you do it on your own, that you have the ability to produce a performance report, not based on one investment that you own. Yes, you're going to have some investments that did really well, others that might not have done so well. But do you have a portfolio? Do you have an ability to produce performance reporting that shows you how you've done over the past 6 months, 1 year, 3 years? Because what's kind of interesting, on average, over the past 3 years, if you look at the 3 year average from 6/30, from June 30th, and go back 3 years, the best place to have your money is in large cap growth investments, up 11.05%, which isn't bad, which is actually very good. But if you invested just in the S&P 500, you're up 9%. Pretty good. Value, you're up at 7%. Now, I'm not saying you move everything to growth, because, folks, it will shift the other way very quickly. You got to have a little bit of money in both. And we've only talked about large cap. There's mid cap, there's small cap, there's international, there's bonds, there's all sorts of investments. Did you know that the very best place to invest your money this past 1 year, the very best place on a 1 year basis, rolling 1 year basis, could have been long-term, low quality bonds. Long-term, low quality bonds. How's that? They're up 20% on a 1 year rolling basis. It makes no sense. Well, it does make sense when you look at it in retrospect, but a year ago, you would have never thought to do that. Folks, investing is confusing, but investing doesn't have to be nearly as complicated as you make it out to be. And throughout the course of this show and throughout what we do each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. right here is try to provide you a little financial advice in a language you can understand. And that's what we're going to do for the rest of the day today. We've got to take a quick break. When we get back, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what else is going on in the market. I want to also share our mid-year outlook for 2017 and answer any other questions that have popped up through our mailbag that I get in my office. And I will share them with you when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Isn't it time to get serious about your retirement planning? Friedman Financial is a financial planning and investment management firm in Peabody. They've been helping professionals and retirees put solid strategies into play for 40 years. When you're planning to get serious about planning for retirement, call Friedman Financial for a free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go online to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm President and CEO of Friedman Financial. Located in Peabody, Massachusetts, not too far from this studio, actually. Just, you know where the North Shore Mall is. We're right around there. And it, like I've told you, in just a few weeks, well, probably 6 to maybe 8 weeks, we're going to be at a new location. If you've been to the new Alto Forno restaurant, they're affiliated with Daniela's, affiliated with Palana. Alto Forno is a fabulous, fabulous high-end Italian restaurant with Mediterranean and Greek influences. It's located on 41 Cross Street, right next to Long's Jewelers. You know where Long's Jewelers is? It's this brand new white office white building there on the first floor. And yes, in about 6 to 8 weeks, we will be occupying the second level of that restaurant, of that building, I should say. And everybody has asked me the same question. Wow, you're going to eat a lot. Well, that's probably true. But the best thing about that is they're not opening till dinner time, so I don't feel compelled to go downstairs for lunch every day. But the other thing people have said to me, Mark, if you're going to be in an office that's right above the restaurant, you're going to smell that great food all day long. Well, I'll tell you, the thing that's really cool, I've been up in the office, in the new office place, and I don't know how they're building buildings these days, but I mean, it smells great in the restaurant, but you go up to my office, can't smell a thing, which is really great. And they've got some fabulous music. Dan Mamola puts on some great music in Alto Forno. Sometimes it's a little heavy on the beat. Heavy on the bass, but that's okay. And I still can't feel that upstairs either. So if I want to get in the groove, I can go downstairs. But we're very excited to move into the second floor there. You'll start to see our sign on the building. And you'll get to know who we are, I suspect, because we will certainly be more visible and out there. I should also throw this out there just because we will be doing this in the future. This office has additional space to it. And if you know of somebody who's a financial advisor working independently, and is looking to make a change or would like to join a firm like ours, we are going to have space for them so that they can be part of our team and they can also be part of this financial advice in a language you can understand experience. I suspect that financial advisors that will work in the office will also get the opportunity to come here on the radio, maybe even fill in for me sometimes, whatever it might be. We're looking forward to adding others to our team, and it's going to be great. We get calls from people all the time, and I want to thank so many of you who listen to the show for calling the office, dropping me an email, and if you want to do that, if you're thinking about something, you say, you know, I got a money-related question that I want to ask Mark, let me give you the phone number at the office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. You can also find us on the internet, of course, FriedmanFinancial.com. I don't think I need to give the www anymore. I think everybody knows it's FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go there. And if you'd like, when you're at my website, you can sign up for our free newsletter. Over 7,000 people subscribe to our newsletter each and every Friday. It comes out at 10:30 in the morning directly into your email box. Costs you nothing. I do not solicit you from that. You won't get any phone calls from me or anything like that. Chances are you'll unsubscribe before you you'll unsubscribe faster because you're going to get this thing every Friday and you're going to finally say, do I really want to keep getting this? Now, a lot of people love it. Other people will say, enough already. I don't need this anymore. Totally up to you. I don't care. But I'd love to be able to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand through our newsletter every Friday. It's called Planning Pointers. Go to the website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Bottom of the page, click on the button that says sign up for Mark's newsletter. Or thanks for tuning in. Each and every Sunday we do this, where we provide that financial advice in a language you can understand. I can't say it enough. Right here from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on North Shore 104.9. So we're sitting here in studio. And we've been talking about how the second half of the year has been just extraordinary. No one would have expected the markets to be up the way they are. No one would have expected the trajectory that has taken place since November 9th of 2016. And no one will admit who's to take credit for the rise, but everybody knows who will be to blame when the market corrects. And that's insane that people think that, but that's what's going to happen. I can already see the headlines on our favorite media stations. But at any rate, I wanted to tell you, though, you know, as good as things are, as good as things may seem to be, it's rather interesting that over the past year to date, over the past 6 months, while some sectors of the market have done extraordinarily well, there are two areas that have done significantly poorly. In fact, there are two areas that are significantly down through 6 months. If you own energy stocks, they're generally down 12% on average right now. Think about Exxon. Think about Southern Company. All of these energy-related companies are down rather dramatically. Look how cheap gas is right now. Let's talk about gas for a minute. This is my big vent here. I'm going to get on my soapbox. Have you been to the gas stations lately where you notice that regular gas is $2.11, but super unleaded gas is $3.01? That's just insane. What is the additive that they're putting in super unleaded that is 50% better than what is in regular gas? So they're going from, let's say it's $2.11 for regular, then $2.81 for plus or mid-grade, and $3.01 or $3.11 for super. Don't you remember the days when it was a 10-cent difference? It was $1.59, $1.69, $1.79. Even when it was at $4, I think it was $4, $4.20, $4.40, something like that. What has happened? It just seems like price gouging. It's like, and you know, so many people here are, you know, driving around in these nicer cars. They lease these nicer vehicles. And speaking of leasing and nicer vehicles, next week we're gonna have the guys from Flagship Mercedes in with us to talk about leasing of vehicles and learning all about cars. But maybe I'll ask them that question about the gas prices. But the thing that is, you know, most people wanted to lease a car, so you end up getting a nicer car, and you pop open the lid to the gas thing, and it says minimum, whatever the thing it's called, the minimum amount of octane or whatever it is that you can put in there, must be 89 or 91. And you realize you get to the gas station and let's say it says 89, and you realize mid-level is 86, but premium is 91. So what do you do? How many gas stations actually have the actual octane number that matches up on the gas tank? That's another type of marketing ploy, I guess. So that's just my vent. And I'm going to ask the guys from Mercedes next week to try to help me understand what the deal is with all of these octanes and the problem that gas prices are so so different from regular gas to premium gas. Okay, enough with my vent on that. But I was telling you that the first 6 months, energy stocks are down 13%. So a lot of people like, they said, well, I love my ExxonMobil stock. It pays a nice dividend. I love my Southern Company stock. It pays a nice dividend. I love my Sun Oil Company, whatever it might be, my British Petroleum. These stocks are down significantly. You know what else is down that people love because they loved that high dividend? They love that dividend was the telecom stocks. A couple of years ago, no one wanted to dump AT&T or Verizon, any of those types of companies, and they are down dramatically this year. Well, think about it. I mean, how can your stock be up when you're a company like Sprint and you're offering unlimited wireless for $90 a month for five lines? That's kind of hard to make any money on that, I would think. So, I mean, it's interesting. One of the things that you, and I've always said this on the radio show, one of the things that you want to really avoid, unless you know how to do it extraordinarily well, and I've yet to find somebody that does it extraordinarily well, is buy individual stocks. Try to guess, try to pick, try to choose what you want to buy. Because you know what? I'll actually tell you a true story. This is Mark's confessional today. So I decided to buy, you know, I decided to buy an individual stock. So yes, I don't encourage people to buy stocks, but you know, there's, you can buy a little bit to play with or whatever. So I decided with, as we headed into the elections, this whole idea here in Massachusetts was this legalization of marijuana. And I thought, well, it's going to happen all across the country. There's a lot of momentum around it. I wonder if I could find a company that is a public company that uses marijuana as part of their pharmaceuticals in whether it's pain management, whatever it is. And I found a company. The company was called Cara Pharmaceuticals, C-A-R-A, Cara Pharmaceuticals. I did my own little research. I didn't make a recommendation to anybody. I did not recommend it to any client. I kept this just for myself because I knew I was willing to take the risk. So I bought the stock for $8 a share. The stock ends up dropping first to $6. And then a few weeks later, after the elections are over, after we head into the first of the year, it's now hovering around 12. So it went from 8 to 12. Couple months later, it starts going to 18. I'm going, wow, it's pretty good. I bought an $8 stock. It went to 18. And I thought to myself, okay, should I sell it? Made my money. And I thought, well, if it's going to 18, perhaps it can go higher, right? That's how we all think. I mean, I'm human like everybody else is. And I got sucked into this, sucked into it. And so I started doing a little research. And it's like, oh, a study's going to come out. This could be really good for the stock. And so I watched, I followed it for a little while longer, and the stock, I hadn't looked at it for a couple of weeks, and I go and I realize it's now selling at $26 a share. Bought it at $8, it is now selling at $26 a share. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, I made a pretty good profit on this thing. Should I sell it? And they said, well, its stock has jumped up for the past couple of days to $26 a share based upon the results of a study that they're expecting that will be earth-shattering in the success of their product. So I'm following the stock each day, and the next thing I know, it's now back to 17 in one day. Drops 40% in one day because the results of the study weren't nearly as positive as the media and others had predicted it might be. And so now you say to yourself, all right, well, should I sell? So I'm like, nah, I'm going to hang around. And so I checked it this week, and now it's at 12. So now what do you do? But think about the stress and the anxiety and the aggravation and the wondering and the distraction that this stock has become. And this is one stock. One stock. You don't need that aggravation. I don't need that aggravation. Have I sold it? No. I still have it right now because I figured, you know what? It is what it is. I'm just going to run it and see what happens. But generally when I do that, I lose badly because you know what? I don't like to buy individual stocks. I like it when it wins, when it goes up. I hate it when it goes down, but I don't have the tolerance or the discipline is probably the better word to sell it. And chances are you don't either because you think, oh, well, I'll have to pay tax on this now. And there might be a trade cost. And guys, that's why I stick with mutual funds. I buy mutual funds. I buy exchange traded funds for our clients. We buy index funds if necessary. We buy them at the lowest possible cost with the greatest level of diversification so that I know that I can buy a mutual fund. Perhaps it's a small cap growth mutual fund that owns this Cara Pharmaceutical stock. And maybe, yes, maybe it's gone from 8 to 26 and down to 12. I'm not going to feel that in the mutual fund because there's all sorts of other stocks in the portfolio that will offset it. I can sleep better. But I'm trying to just give you the truest of confessional because I'm human like everybody else. And I've made the mistakes just like you have. But folks, selling a security is a very difficult thing to do. I'd encourage you to stay away from those individual stocks. Let's talk about mutual funds. Let's talk about something even bigger like the economy. When we get back, I'm going to share with you
our mid-year outlook. What is to come for the rest of this year? What's our outlook for 2017? Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 4.9.
Summer, grab the entire family and be our guest as North Shore Music Theater comes to life with a magical new production of Disney's Beauty and the Beast. Fall under the spell of this enchanting tale as old as time.
Here's where she meets Prince Charming.
Don't miss this lavish and romantic production, the most heartwarming story ever told, proving beauty can be found within. Disney's Beauty and the Beast serves up an unforgettable evening of spectacular entertainment at Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater, now through July 30th only. Kids save 50% at all performances. For tickets, log on to nsmt.org. Sponsored by Abiomed.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand. And we do that. We've actually been doing it since 1968. My father started the firm. Dad started the firm April of 1968, which means April of 2018. We will be celebrating our 50th anniversary of providing this financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area. That's it, folks. I mean, we want to keep it local. Our clients come to us. You come to our office in Peabody. We meet with you. I don't bother with weekend appointments. I don't do evening appointments. Look, there's plenty of financial advisors that are happy to help those that can only do weekends and evenings. When people come to us, they say, you know what? It is time for me to get serious. This is not, well, I'm going to try out Mark. We're going to try this out. No, because you know that the way that we run our practice is big picture. You know, earlier I talked about buying an individual stock. That's not how my general office works. General office is we do financial planning first. We need to understand where everything is, what everything is worth before we ever make a recommendation with you. What we do is if you wanted to work with us, if you wanted to even learn a little bit more about the firm, you can call the office 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. You want to learn more about us on the web, go to friedmanfinancial.com. That is Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. But thanks for being part of it today. Thanks for joining us. 8 to 9 a.m. We deliver this financial advice in a language you can understand. We call the show Dollars and Cents. But as we're putting together a financial plan for you, we want you to fill out and gather all sorts of information, whether it's your tax returns, pay stubs, investment statements, insurance policies, 401k accounts. It can be anything, your automobile policy, homeowner's policy, all of that stuff. When you went to your last financial advisor, when you went to visit a stockbroker at one of the big stock brokerage houses, what did they ask for you? What did they ask from you? Did they ask you to bring in all of those documents? What did they do with those documents? Well, what we do is not only do we gather them, we enter the data. We put it together in a format so you can see where you stand. What is your full and total net worth? The value of your house, the mortgages that you have, debts you might have, values of 401k, bank accounts, all of that kind of stuff so you can see where you're worth, what you're worth. Because how can anybody say that they're going to place your interest first if they don't know where everything is and what everything is worth? I had someone call me earlier this week and she had asked me about an annuity that she had purchased a few years ago. And she was asking me, well, you know, I've heard and I've seen these radio commercials that say annuities, they're bad. Bad annuities are bad. A lot of these Ken Fisher commercials, Fisher Investments, comes out and say that if you're, you know, if you've bought an annuity, basically you're an idiot. I do not say that. I'm not saying that I sell a lot of annuities in my office, but annuities work in certain instances. But she was so intimidated by these advertisements that she called me and she said, you know, Mark, I bought this annuity through a life insurance guy, through an annuity salesman. I like him. He's been very honest, very candid with me, provides me with the information that I ask of him, but I'm feeling like I should still get a second opinion. And so the situation was she called me and we talked on the phone for a little bit. And not only do I think that the salesperson did the right thing in this case? I couldn't give her a full and complete answer because I didn't know everything about her financial situation. She kept on asking me, well, is this true? Is this true? Is this true? Is this? And I mean, I don't know. But the best answers, the best advice that anybody can give someone is to make it based upon knowing where everything is and what everything is worth. That is critical as you're approaching retirement. Even if you're in retirement, if you have accounts scattered all over the place, if you're approaching age 70 and a half and you're wondering, how do I go about taking this minimum distribution thing? If you're thinking about converting your IRA to a Roth, if you're wondering, how can I support my life in retirement while still giving some money to the kids because they still need some help? If you're worried about medical costs, how to take Social Security, when to take Social Security, all of those questions are ones that a financial planner has within their arsenal of advice that they offer when they're providing you comprehensive financial planning. That is what we do at Friedman Financial every single day. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and you'd like to sit down for an initial consultation in our office, it's a great time to do it because summertime, it's generally slow in the office. And with the market, well, right now kind of holding its own, people are a little bit complacent. And so it makes the office a little bit quieter too. So if you were actually thinking about saying, you know, well, maybe I'll wait till the fall, now might be a great time to get into our office to begin a relationship and for us to get started. Our phone number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Look, I told you earlier in the show, I was going to go over this mid-year outlook. What are we thinking about what's going to happen in the next 6 months? You know, what do we expect to happen to the economy? Is the economy going to grow? Is the economy going to shrink? Is the economy going to be flat? Will the economy be impacted by terrorism, by our president, by Angela Merkel? What will impact it? The answer is nobody knows. That's the true answer. But that's no fun when you're watching CNBC or any of the local media stations. They have to have somebody that's extreme. You know, for me to say, you know, when someone asks me, Mark, what do you think the market's going to do for the month? My answer is, I have no idea. That's the most honest answer that you could get from anybody. But that's not going to sell newspapers. It's not going to sell TV space. It's not even going to sell radio spots. When you go to CNBC, they want people that are extreme. I think the market's going to in for a 12% increase. Or here's a stock that I think can go up 40% in 2 weeks. That's what people want to hear. Well, let me be a little bit more realistic with you and share with you our outlook, which is an outlook, and that's all it is. Remember, I'm basing this on what we hear from economists. And remember, economists are generally right 40% of the time. They're not even better than 50%. Economists are right just about 40% of the time. So think about this. If you've been following a particular economist, and he or she has been right over the past 3 years, what's the likelihood that the next 3 years are going to be successful? Just consider that as you begin thinking about from whom you take advice. So I'm going to take a little bit of a plain vanilla approach. Yes, it is a little conservative, but I think it's also realistic in light of the world that we're in today. Where do I think the economy's going? I think the economy could grow at a rate of 2.5% this year. Now, what does that mean, that the economy will grow at a rate of 2.5%? Well, you have to look at things. There's a term that's called GDP, gross domestic product. You've probably heard that expression. What that represents is the amount of money that gets sold on consumer good, money that comes from consumer goods, money that comes from interest, money that comes from government spending, money that, and the difference between what comes in from imports less exports. We think people will spend at a rate and develop revenues at a rate around 2.5% higher than last year. That's all. Now, what can that lead to? Could that lead to inflation? Could that lead to the cost of goods going up? Sure, it could. Sure, it could. But our economy really hasn't seen a 2.5% growth rate in a very long time. It's been incredibly sluggish. If we can get to 2.5%, that would be fabulous. What kind of return can we expect on stocks? Everybody wonders, what kind of return can we expect on stocks? It used to be people would talk about the fact, well, the stock market over X number of years has averaged between 9 and 10% a year. Over the next 5 years, should we expect the stock market to average 9 to 10% per year? I don't know if that's feasible. I don't know if that's even possible when you think about the kind of run-up we've had. Look, the stock market has averaged 9.21% over the past rolling three years. I think we have to be a little bit more realistic. I think we can expect a rate of return of 6 to 9% on stocks for the year. Now, think about this. I just told you earlier that year-to-date, the S&P 500 is up 9%, 9.27% through June 30th. What does that mean? If the best we can expect for the year is 6 to 9%, how much more upside is there? Is it possible that we could have a pullback and still end up 9%? Sure. But is it likely that we're going to end up 15 to 20% for the year? I don't know. I honestly do not think so. So we want to be careful. We want to be cautious. Where else do we want to be putting our money? Well, one thing for sure, one thing that I can tell you for certain, is that you don't want to be putting all of your money in the S&P 500. And what drives me nuts on a regular basis, people will say, well, how are you doing compared to the market? Well, if I'm going to compare myself to the market being the S&P 500, the stock market, I have to have an entire portfolio that matches the market. Or I have to try to figure out a way that I can build a portfolio that beats the market. And if you know through history, and anyone will tell you this, nobody does it. I always find it fascinating when people say, well, let's not include the cash that I have in the bank. Let's not include my bonds. Let's only include these particular funds to compare against the S&P 500. Why? Why? You're not including your whole portfolio? You got to include your whole portfolio. Are you not going to include your whole portfolio when it comes time for retirement? Are you going to say, well, let's leave my cash alone. Let's leave my bonds alone. Let's only deal with my stocks. Let's only deal with my bonds. No, you can't do that. You don't have that luxury. The greatest luxury that you have to making yourself wealthier, having more net worth, whatever it might be, you know what that greatest factor that you have going for you is your ability to work. That is what drives your wealth. Your ability to work, to cover your expenses and perhaps have something that you can put aside or perhaps leave what you've put aside alone. The longer you can work, the greater the likelihood of you being able to achieve the goals that you want. You know, there's stories that have been out in the Globe and the Journal lately that talk about more and more people are working into their 70s. And they're not working in their 70s because they have to. They're working in their 70s because they want to. They're not ready to die. 70 years old is not what your grandparents looked like when they were 70 years old, if they even lived to 70. 70 years old is different. So is 80. I mean, we still have plenty of clients. I mean, I'm sure you know plenty of people in their 80s, in their 90s, that are still driving. Yes, there are some that should not be, for sure. But there are many others that are alert and spot on, and they can travel and they can get involved in athletics. They can get involved in a lot of things. Folks, but the number one thing that you can do to keep yourself active, to keep yourself sharp, is to keep working. Really, it's great for you. Now, it might not be the job that you hated for so many years and for so long. Do something else, even if it's volunteering. But we've got other thoughts to share on where this market's going, whether it's international markets, whether it's the bond markets, what you should be investing in now, what you should stay away from. I've got all sorts of stories and thoughts to share with you, but I can't do that right now because we're up against the clock. Just for the moment, though, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I've got more on our 2017 mid-year outlook. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. I don't know.
Do you ever
ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We are in our last and final segment this Sunday. Hope you're doing well. We got a great weekend this weekend. It's been the weather's really been good. Yeah, a few rainy days here and there. We started off a little cold, but when we've had some beautiful weather, it hasn't been too oppressive. It's been nice. Wasn't 4th of July weekend awesome? I thought that was just a fabulous, fabulous weekend. But, you know, here we are, halfway through the year. Yeah, Christmas is, it's got to be something like 100 and something shopping days left till Christmas. Can you believe it? Yeah, I know. I mean, you're going to start to see back to school. Back to school is already out there, I guess. Halloween's coming. Thanksgiving's coming. All this crazy stuff. It just keeps on coming. It keeps on coming. And that means more money to spend too, right? You know, Christmas is expensive. Thanksgiving's expensive. And you know what's expensive lately? Halloween. Halloween is one of these ridiculously expensive holidays. And I don't get it, but it's... People will spend an enormous amount of money on Halloween. But, it, you know, maybe a lot of it has to do with the fact that the economy has been so good over the past few years. You know, we are approaching a 9-year bull market. What does that mean? What does a bull market mean? A bull market means that you pick a point in time, and as the market gone up more than 20%, once it goes up more than 20% from a period of time, we are now in what's called a bull market. So it continues until it drops 20%. Well, our bull market has started in March of 2009 when we hit that low point. There was the credit crisis. There was all sorts of problems that we had. Unemployment was up near 9%. I'm sure you may have even been part of that where you could not find a job for a while. Unemployment today is at its lowest possible level, lowest level it's been in years, I should say. And Massachusetts, even lower. You want a job, you can find a job. And please don't tell me you can't find a job. That is just laziness as far as I am concerned. But what we've seen is a market that was in March of 2009, somewhere around 6,000 on the Dow. And here we are almost 22,000 on the Dow. Is that more than 20%? Oh, yeah. That's more than 200%. So we have been in a bull market since March of 2009 up until now. When will the bear market kick in? Now, there's things that you hear called a bear market, and then you, I'm losing the word. I can't forget that. I can't think of the word. When the market goes, I can't remember. But when the bear market means that you drop 20%. Well, think about what 20% would be. I want you to think about that. For someone to say we are in a bear market, 20% on 22,000 is 4,400 points. 4,400 points, take 4,400 from 22,000, and you're roughly at 18,000 on the Dow. You know where that takes us to? The election. So think about that. Think about that. So we've had a 200+% growth rate from 2009. And we all know who's to thank for that. And that's President Obama, right? Of course, right? Say that with tongue in cheek. Because we all know that when the market drops 20% and we go into this bear market, the 20% pullback that takes us back to 18,000 the day of the election, it's all going to be President Trump's fault, right? No, it's just the most the way we try to rationalize what happens is just absolutely insane. And I got to tell you, one of the things that I love to do, I love to hang out in coffee shops. to go for breakfast and listen to the miserables talk about what's going on in the world. And everybody has an opinion and everybody's arguing and everybody knows so much better about how it all works. And it doesn't matter whether you're sitting in a local cafe in Danvers or Peabody, or you're sitting in Little Rock, Arkansas, Naples, Florida, or, I don't know, San Bernardino, California. Doesn't matter where you are. I love going out for breakfast and just listening in on the conversation. Now, I find it hysterical. And what's always fascinating to me, the guys or women that are sitting at these tables, and they are so impassioned about their belief, and they're all yelling and screaming, and they're all into their discussion. They all begin to believe each other. And then they leave and they go home for the afternoon barbecue. And then they have a few beers and the story gets expanded and extrapolated. And then someone decides to find some kind of fancy quote on Facebook that endorses what they were saying. I told you so. And now they got to share it out and it's got to trickle out. Well, you know what's fascinating? As much as you or the person who does this believes in everything that they're saying, there's the absolute opposite conversation happening at some other coffee shop in America. And these two people, you get these two people in a room, they can't talk to each other because neither of them will listen. That's the problem with America. That's the problem with economics today. That's the problem with our government, with our Congress. Everybody is on such the far ends, the fringes, that if someone certainly brings up an idea that is so distasteful or so different from what you're thinking, you just absolutely shut it down. So let me give you an example. Just this past week, USA Today posted this infographic that made me laugh. And when I tell you what this infographic is going to say, you are going to be so polarized by this. But this was done, there was a study done by creditcards.com, did this survey. Now, who's creditcards.com? I don't know. It could be Joe so-and-so that has a little website that owns creditcards.com in his basement. But it was significantly valid enough for it to make the front page of USA Today. And it talks about who are the best tippers and the worst tippers in America. Did you see this? So, did you see this? I'm asking you, I'm asking Tony, who's sitting across from me. Well, I put this picture up on my Facebook page, and I said, do you agree or disagree? So, according to USA Today, the best tippers who average a 20% tip in restaurants are men who are Republicans who live on the Northeast and pay with credit cards. They pay at 20%. The worst tippers in America are women who are Democrats, who are from the South, that pay with cash. Okay, and it says, and they tip on average 16%. Now, 16 or 20%, neither of those are bad tips, by the way. So it doesn't make you a bad tipper, but I think it's fascinating how those bullets, male Republicans who live on the Northeast that use credit cards versus, and this is how this is viewed as, women who are Democrats from the South who pay with cash. That is makes the worst to the best. So I put this up there with agree or disagree on my post. And of course, every woman posted disagreed, which I would expect. But they took offense to saying, why do they think that Republicans are better tippers than Democrats? And why? I mean, so they grabbed one bullet from this thing. Why do they think people in the Northeast are better tippers than people in the South? And I just find these infographics to be appalling, to be divisive, to be, it makes us a separate, just a divided nation, a divided conversation, just over nonsense. Think what that did. This thing has gone viral. That's insane that this is one thing that has gone viral. You know the other thing that went viral, which just absolutely amazed me? The color of the white and gold dress versus the black and blue dress. Now we all know that the dress, white and gold. Right? And but that is what we talked about. That and the tipping that goes on. It amazes me how few people have never been outside of the United States that don't know that other governments operate differently than the way governments operate here in America. There's actually many people here in Massachusetts who listen to this show right now who have never been west of the Mississippi River. Yeah, you've made your trip to Florida. You've done that. You did the Disney World thing. Maybe even stopped south of the border to visit Pedro. And you remember that, right? All those billboards that you go down as you're heading down south of the border. You've been to D.C. You've been to Washington. You've been to New York City. But if you've been west of the Mississippi River, and if you have, California doesn't count. You can't include the Pacific coastline. If you've been anywhere inside the Pacific coastline and the Mississippi River, most people have not. And that's a whole nother world. You want to see a different conversation for breakfast? Go there. And the conversation will be completely and totally different. All right, a couple other things on the economy. And I just kind of got on my little tangent again there. But here's thoughts. One of the things that you want to be starting to look at as you're building your portfolio, we tell you to build a well-balanced portfolio that includes stocks, that includes bonds, that includes large cap, mid cap, small cap, value companies, growth companies. But one area that oftentimes gets overlooked is international securities, investing in products and companies and services that are outside of the United States that are thriving. Now, I would never encourage you to buy an individual stock. People will say, well, I just heard Samsung is going to even be bigger than Apple or Amazon, whatever. They don't even remember what it was. Yes, there's big companies that are out there. But buy the mutual fund. Buy the exchange-traded fund. Buy the index. Buy the packaged product that allows you to have access to a lot of investments with some professional money management. So where do you go? Some people will say, well, I want to buy China. I want to buy India. I want to buy Germany. I want to go to these places. No, look at it this way. Look at it from the perspective of developed and undeveloped countries, or developing, maybe we should call it better that, developing countries. We actually believe that the upside potential, the greatest upside potential, will occur in developing countries rather than developed countries. That only makes sense. But if you've never been to a developing country, you probably wouldn't get it. I went to India this year. I got it. Big time. I got it. I've been to Brazil, another developing country. I've been to Thailand, another developing country, and you begin to see how far behind they are in the United States than they are in the United States, but the opportunity and how far they have to go and how successful they can do it in those other countries. I'm not telling you to put all your money there at all. What I'm saying is that you may want to consider a 15 to 20% allocation to international securities, and maybe you go split half developing to developed, but you got to be there. The other thing is look at your bonds. Interest rates are likely to go up, but not too much. You want to be sure that the average maturity and duration of your bond funds, and I would suggest you're buying bond funds right now, should be somewhere around the 3 to 7 year range. That's where you can get at least a little bit of a dividend, a little bit of interest, and not be too badly exposed if interest rates click up. All right. So we've talked about stocks, we've talked about international securities, we've talked about bonds, we've talked about the economy. We got a lot of great things ahead of us. The market is looking positive, but I think we say that with some caution. The market has grown almost 9% for the year. That might be all we're going to get for the year, but it's very possible we could pull back 3 or 4% and still end up 7, 8, 9. You never know what's going to happen. And then again, I could be totally wrong and the market could close up 25% for the year. Who knows? But even if it does close up 25%, we know who's not getting credit for it, right? We all know who's not getting credit for it. All right, that's going to do it for me. That's going to do it for me this Sunday. I got to get out of here. We're going to make room for Aurelia Nelson. Then we have Food Talk coming in after that. Great shows coming up. And, of course, Red Sox all weekend long. Have a wonderful weekend. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.